Now the recorder is on.
14. It's impossible that Madame Velda is dead, Kelsey said and grabbed her heart. She's probably just been sentenced to shovel pizza shit. Fuck you, Drew. You're not my dad, Drew said. And that's another reference to Madame Velda, Kelsey said to Zandra. Zandra shook her head in the dust. There's only one Madame Velda, she responded, and the less I say about her, the more time she'll have on Earth. But she doesn't live on Earth, Drew exclaimed. Or at least she once told me that it was impossible to live here. Great, Zandra said, making a U-turn on a dead-end street. What if I told you that cigarettes are very American, that nothing is impossible, but that you can't believe your parents? What parents? Kelsey asked. Those old cancer sticks who only say what Madame Valderrama wants them to say, even after they're dead. Great, because you have to do a full background check just to get the truth out of those two motherfuckers, Kelsey said. And then they keep repeating themselves until I'm blue in the face. Yes, sir. Zandra stretched herself into a gimme-a-tea pose. It's just too bad that everything that I want is everything that everybody else wants. Jesus fucking Christ, Kelsey approximately said. I'm my own worst fucking nightmare. I'm a cigarette that's gone to ash. And what are you going to do now, Drew asked. Zandra didn't catch this pop cultural reference. I'm not going to lame-ass Disneyland. Or didn't she? Don't look now, but what you don't know for sale won't hurt you. Kelsey said with the buffalo, it will kill you. Great, because I don't know about you, but every second of my life has been spent in a constant panic, Zandra said with Jose Canesco aplomb. I have an aunt who bought something at the store the other day that killed her. It was an antique meteor. She brought it from someone claiming to be Madame Velda, and she said she got it from Salvador Allende. Where is that? Drew asked. And when do we get to see this meteor? Kelsey said with God panache. In second grade, Zandra responded, poning up 12 slices of pie. First you have to die, and then you can come back to life. The dying part seemed like a piece of cake. It was the coming back to life that would be tricky. Kelsey was so excited she tried to short-circuit her nervous system. I'm going to die in increments, Kelsey said, more because she was miserable than because she wanted to be babbling with Drew. A cigarette death would suit me fine. I want to be just like my Uncle Zandra. I want to be a ship of super glue on a sea of electric eels. And, as an aside, I'd like to be stuffed. Don't talk like that, Drew murmured. But, without parentheses, it wasn't very convincing. And at the moment a curtain opened in the time-space continuum, and Zandra knew that she'd be dragging her ass around Earth for the second time. She had once been part of an ancient Iberian tribe, and now she was a man who was so old he made Madame Velda look young. A man who looked so tan and so old and was so actually Madame Velda. Kelsey thought that what he needed was a good dose of Seconal, a businessman's dose of Seconal. He was dressed all in black. His pants were long and black. His jacket was black, and even his chocolate shake was black. All he needed was some cold goo spread on his pendulum, and he'd be sound as a pound. When Kelsey realized that she was a he, she was less certain about whether her current adventures in reality were in gold or in crystal.
Crystal.
I'm very pleased to introduce you to my Uncle Gregor, as Andra said. What a gut you have, Mr. Gregor, Kelsey said with an edge in her singing voice, because nothing in the world can keep Kelsey from offering to offend a fellow cigarette. Nobody cared about Uncle Gregor, and certainly nobody cared for the expression on his face. He looked like he was thinking about something somewhere between statuesque young women and just plain statues. And then he looked at Kelsey, and he got all fidgety. Is it true that you look exactly like Zandra? Gregor asked. What do you think Madame Valda does when she's not mispronouncing words like a barrel full of monkeys? Then he started babbling words without pronouncing them, just like Madame Valda. And Kelsey thought he was either senile or making fun of Madame Valda or both. I don't think Madame Valda can hear herself for the echo, and that's why she pronounces everything wrong. That, and she's a stupid dumb fuck. When Gregor finished babbling, he got on the crazy cart and told everybody how much Madame Valda sucked. He told everyone that she sucked and that she was a walking parody of herself and she couldn't play the banjo and the only thing she lived on was water. That and tab. Gregor listened to his own words because the crazy girl was moving faster than the speed of sound and all because he lacked a proper segue. When he was done listening to himself, he said, "Look, little girl, I'm not content just to be myself. I want to be every freaking one." "Yeah," Drew exclaimed. "But your manners are worse than Madame Val's, and she's dead. Or at least, if 6 equals 9, death is only a small pothole on the road of life when you're a ponderous sort of person like Madame Valda," Gregor said to Drew. "That's what you wanted to say?" Kelsey asked. "Death can't stop Madame Valda," Sandra declared. "The CIA can't stop Madame Valda. If you kill her, she just goes back in time and starts all over again." Kelsey knew she'd have to turn around to see Drew, and she also knew that she'd slap her upside the head. Yeah, you're always talking about Madame Valda, and she's the only cigarette to have left a mark on history," Xandra said to Kelsey, implying that Kelsey's hiccups were the only thing of hers that the history books would record. "Yeah," Greg repeated, "this cigarette is more of a proud heritage than a habit-forming one, but you just keep being bad and I'll tan your backside, and I'll use your own powers against you, like mass assembly." "What?" Kelsey asked, even though she was quite fond of not understanding what was going on. Gregor knew Kelsey was limited to what she could see and hear, so he didn't respond to her question, but he did start up at his own segue. "Madame Valda is the worst and last supply and demand cigarette in the period of late capitalism. And like capitalism, she's the cause of all of our problems. But even though she's quite a tempura recipe and carries diseases across the ages, she's still only a cigarette." Gregor paused and then resumed his history lesson. "As I see it, secretly, this female cigarette is like a revolving Mata Hari. If you take a boy and a girl, and you give them instructions and a Coleman lantern, they still wouldn't find Madame Valda, and they still wouldn't even know where to begin from where to begin." "Yeah," he said, "a forkful," Xandra exclaimed. Then she patted herself on the back and slapped her own butt as if the world revolved only around her. Gregor continued. "I don't know if everyone heard my little aside about the boy and the girl and Madame Valda, but I did, and I'm enraged. But back to the story of Madame Valva's murder. Her body has been frozen until someone from Mars can ID the body." Gregor continued on continuing on. "But Valva really isn't from Mars. 100 years ago she was from Mars. But even further back she was from Sergio Leone. And before that she was from Venezuela. And before that the Habsburg area of Denmark." Neither Kelsey nor Drew was paying attention, so Gregor stopped his history lesson. "The girls would rather be running around quietly or counting caribou than listening to a rat like Gregor. What do you think of girls who run around like antelopes with their ailerons cut off?" "Well, Madame Valva thinks if you talk bad words and you're always flailing about, you'll be forever on the crazy cart. Do you think I give two shits about the mispronunciations of Madame Valva?" Xandra asked. Kelsey started convulsing instead of breathing and gawking instead of looking. Gregor, as an uncle. "But I have what advertising doesn't have, a straight face and abs of steel." Gregor was standing close to Kelsey. The young girl squirmed when she saw the old blue hair and all of the cold goo that comes with being so old and squirmed again when she heard his voice, as old as gods, say, "I can put up with mispronunciations, but I draw the line when you start pushing, matching me do. I mean, when you start thinking that poor people are the worst singers on this miasma we call Earth."
Ta-da! Thanks, Bob. Yeah.
I think it took a little while to get warmed up.
Yeah, you definitely did warm up.